bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. And by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield.
We're at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Happy holidays, a belated happy Thanksgiving to you as the Runner Rebels get to come home and do the laundry before heading back out on the road. It's rodeo road trip time, and the Rebels were in Cincinnati on Saturday, and it was an exciting ball game to say the least. We will talk about that. Have a big game coming up, conference game on Wednesday. Rebels will head to Fresno for a game against the Bulldogs on Wednesday evening, and then back home, do one more set of laundry, then back out on the road again Friday for a game Saturday afternoon up in Salt Lake City against their old rival BYU. Hi, everybody. I'm John Sandler, along with Curtis Terry and the head coach, TJ Otzelberger. Great to be with you here at Bailiwick, and we spent some time in Cincinnati. It's a nice city. And it was a lot of fun. That's a really nice arena, and it was a great atmosphere, a great crowd and excitement. And the Rebels, I think, played their best half of the year, Coach. That first half against a really good Bearcats team, and the Rebels went to halftime with that 9-point lead. A really terrific half of basketball at both ends of the floor.
No, I thought our guys did a great job defensively. We had great focus. I think from a game plan standpoint, really executed, and an effort standpoint, they did a great job. That led to us getting out, getting a few easy looks. I think guys really shared the basketball, and it was just, you know, on the road in a tough environment, about as flawless of a half as we could play. I was really proud of our guys going into the break.
Curtis, that was fun to watch, and we've talked about it, how we've seen glimpses here and there and spurts of where you see what Coach and his staff are trying to do. We saw a full half of it there.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it fun, though, John, by any means. And Coach, I don't know what your thoughts are. Great first half. That was obviously fun. Great arena. Terrible weather, even though I'm from the Pacific Northwest, cold and rainy. But we definitely saw what this team is capable of. Great first half, sharing the ball, flying around defensively. Tough, hard nose, pack in the lane, not giving up really much anything. But again, tale of two halves. But a lot of bright spots. And for me, it gets me excited. I might have to one game here, hopefully soon, if we can get it approved. Steal Marvin's 31 and throw it on and curl my hair up and go out there for Coach.
Well, it was a lot of fun to watch the guys play that way. And Coach, is that something when you show guys film? I know there are a lot of times you show them, okay, that's a mistake, you don't want to do that. But is that a half of basketball that you will show them or can show them to say this is what we want?
There was definitely some positive plays in terms of how we executed defensively. Offensive rebounding, thought we did a great job getting to the offensive glass, and that limited them in transition, and it got us some extra possessions. I thought there was also some clips where you had guys moving on penetration and sharing the basketball. So, you know, we did film this morning before practice, pointed out some areas where things weren't going our way and why, and then when they were, why they were, and hopefully our guys can continue to learn from those and make us better as we move forward.
Curtis, from a player's perspective, when you're trying to learn a new system and trying to understand what the staff expects of you and wants from you, you play a half a basketball like that. How do you build on that as a player?
Well, you throw in that term player as a player. Those days are long gone for me, John.
But no. I understand, but I think you have a memory. So
yeah, I'm getting old. No, but it's really about trying to make sure you're putting together quality possessions. Back-to-back, string them together, get a good shot on offense or a good look, get a stop, get out in transition, and kind of repeat that. But it's tough when you come into a new situation. But luckily for me, I was, like Marvin, for example, or Nick, I was there right away on Coach Kruger's first year. So it wasn't about having to start with one philosophy or one kind of outline and then switch, kind of mid-swing or mid-career. So I was lucky from that standpoint. But it's really about just buying in and believing in the group of guys that you're in the locker room with and going to battle with, but also believing in the coaching staff and that they're going to put you in a position to be successful. And for me, if I was playing, I would be gnawing at the bit to get out there just because of the style and the play that these guys are showing and the camaraderie in a short period of time and what they've been able to do. Although coming up short, it just leaves me kind of salivating and kind of chomping at the bit to see when they do put it all together, because it's not how you start. Obviously, it's how you finish.
Coach, the game in Cincinnati, you go to halftime, come back out, you know the Bearcats are going to make a run, you know they're going to make some adjustments. Got to give them credit for the D that they played in the second half, caused the Rebels to go through a long scoring drought. But what was the key once Cincinnati had gotten that lead to kind of getting the guys back into the rhythm, the flow, and start that comeback?
Well, I think what you can't do on the road is allow one play to multiply and turn into two plays and three plays. And so I think, you know, it's your job as a head coach to make sure you're utilizing timeouts, you're continually reminding guys, keep your focus so you don't get caught up in the environment. Obviously, there was a stretch there. The fans were really into it. They were riding high with confidence, and so we wanted to manage the game effectively. I think, you know, for us, defensively, I think they ramped it up a little bit, but at the same time, I think we've got to continue to make simple plays. What built that lead was guys sharing the ball, moving it simple play after simple play, and then converting. I think that got away from us. When we settled back in, again, I think we got better ball movement, and I think we're more focused defensively. Our team is absolutely at its best when our focus on the defensive side of the floor is a mindset to get stops, because when we do, that builds our confidence to go offensively. And so we've got to get stops and string them together. Like you mentioned earlier, Curtis, it's get one, get another one, get another one, not being content with just having one or having one effort play, making multiple effort plays in a row.
The swings in that game were pretty dramatic. Rebels with a 9-point lead built it to 12. Cincinnati then came from behind, eventually built a 10-point lead with a minute 10 to go. And although not quite as dramatic as the one you live by, Curtis, down 10 with 18 seconds to go and winning in overtime against San Diego State many years ago, it was still a tremendous comeback, a 12-2 run over the final minute 10. And you could just see the guys and the momentum. And momentum is such a big part of college basketball.
No, it really is. And I think, to our guys' credit, they didn't give in. It would have been an easy environment on the road once we got down to kind of shut it down, and they kept fighting and competing. And I really loved the last possession in terms of guys keeping the ball alive. Marvin, Bryce, Donnie all making a play on the basketball to keep it alive, finding Eli on that open shot on the top slot or left wing there where he knocked it in to send it in overtime. So love how they kept competing, love how they kept fighting. But again, it was a tale of weren't able in overtime to string those stops together again and just, make those extra effort plays.
How much value do you take from the experience that you get playing in a close game like that? Because toward the end, certainly in overtime, that had the atmosphere of a conference game, for sure.
It did. I mean, I think the value is we're battle-tested. Hopefully, when we get in these games, our guys can draw upon those experiences and say, we've been in these games before. We've been in these hard fights. We've played these bigger, more physical teams. We've played a lot of Power 5 teams. And so when we're in that moment, we earn that right to win by competing, rallying together, and drawing upon our experience. That's why we play the schedule that we do, because if you have character and you keep getting better as the year goes on, you're going to improve from those experiences. It's going to pay off in league play.
Yeah, and I think that was even more kind of like a tournament, a postseason atmosphere, albeit Cincinnati was at home, but the guys stayed composed. Even when they went on that lull of about 12 minutes or so, 10 to 12 minutes without a field goal, they were still up, still leading the way, didn't wilt, didn't fold. And like Coach, you said, you can very easily say, all right, let's pack it in, and they can shut it down. So that just shows just the character and the integrity and just the fight in the group of guys that you have. And that's what we've seen multiple times when we get down to the wire in those close games. So being at home in overtime, being on the road at Cal in overtime, now being at Cincinnati, leading, getting down, coming back, those things are, I think, what those guys will be able to kind of pull from the back of the memory and those experiences to use when they're at San Diego State, Utah State, et cetera. Because, again, Coach, like you said, I wholeheartedly believe what we do in non-conference early in the season, that's important and it matters. But ultimately, it's making sure we're playing our best basketball at the end of the season, kind of when all the cards are on the table and trying to make something happen.
No, and I think as a coach, you want your guys to continue to improve every day, to stay on that journey, to bind together, understand that belief in each other. And so those experiences hopefully only make you stronger and grow together more as a team, having gone through them. And I think, truthfully, from a size and physicality standpoint, there's a lot of teams that we're playing that have some bigger, more physical teams than what we see in league play. And I think if our guys can take those lessons we've learned in those games and apply it, that we can use it to our benefit. But really, it comes down to, you get late in those games, every detail matters. Every detail, every sprint, every screen, every cut, every contest, everything matters, and it's magnified. And I think, if anything, hopefully we've learned that from this, and we value every single opportunity moving forward.
And if I can, with that, Coach, you mentioned the guys getting those experiences and going through it. What are you seeing in terms of the resolve from the guys of going through it and just not quite getting there, but still committed to come back and practicing hard and sticking it out and willing to put in that work and effort? Because, again, it's not easy, especially when you're getting so close but not getting the goal or getting to the top of the mountain. What are you seeing from your guys in terms of still working just as hard, albeit the kind of struggles towards the end of the games and some of those close ones?
Well, I think it's a credit to their character and their ability as a group to stay together and get along, because a lot of times when you're not rewarded with the victory, it's easy for guys to say, well, that was your fault, or my coach said this guy should have passed to me, and my dad told me I should have played more, and all those things start to come into play, because that's human nature as well. What's the problem? You know, if we didn't win, what's the problem? And to be honest with you, I think that's, you've got to stay away from that world of instant gratification and understand, look, what you're in it for is to keep getting better and play your best. Absolutely, we want to win every game when we're in the moment. But if you learn from those experiences and you build on it, and you don't look at each other and point fingers, you look at each other and say, let's all look in the mirror, let's all bind together, coaches, players, everybody, see what we can learn and take from it. And now next time we're in this situation, let's use that and have that resolve to find a way to get the victory.
Rebels in that game, I think that sounds great, absolutely, absolutely. Rebels were led in that game by one Elijah Mitru-Long through a 29 spot at the Bearcats, and he was just absolutely terrific at both ends.
Yeah, I think, you know, his confidence offensively, I think he's playing a little bit more now just with a mentality and a mindset, not analyzing. You know, I think for him coming in as a new player, especially as a point guard, and you're saying, hey, lead the group, move the ball, and, well, coach, do you want me to score too? Do you want me, you know what, I just want you to play as hard as you possibly can on both sides, and then trust your instincts and let them take over. And so I think he's realizing, like, yeah, when we say run the team, it doesn't mean not shoot. It doesn't mean don't look to make plays for yourself. It means bring whatever ingredient we need on a given night. Amari didn't have it going in the way that he has. Eli stepped up and stomached a lot of that offensive production for us, which was great. And so, you know, proud of him for that. And I think it's great to see other guys step up. We need more of that offensively. We need more balance. We need more guys to step up and with the scoring load.
Absolutely right. We've talked about it before. If it's just one guy, and in the most of the season to this point, it's been Amari, and that night it was Eli. Some nights it's Donnie. But in order to become a more difficult team to defend, you're going to want and need more balanced scoring, and that just makes sense. And I know that's the way your system is designed as well.
Well, and I think just the flow of the game, taking what the defense gives you, and you know, we started the year off against Fort Wayne, and I know they're not quite the competition that some of the teams we've played are, but having five guys in double figures and having that balanced attack, to me, it's different teams are built different ways. Some function better when one guy has 40 and a bunch have 10. I think ours is going to function the best when we have multiple guys in double figures, because I think for our team, it's, you know, that's the best balance and the best flow for us to be at our best offensively, and that's what we have to continue to try to do.
Coach, want to get to we've got a couple of questions from our Twitter feed I want to get to. One has to do with injury. How's Mbake? How's Jonah?
Yeah, I think first with Mbake, fortunately it wasn't a head injury. He's got some stiffness in his neck and in his back, but he was great. He's full clear for practice today.
That's good news.
Jonah still wasn't able to practice. Again, it's continually being reevaluated both by our trainer and doctor, and I think it's still kind of a day-to-day thing that until he has full movement and the swelling goes down in his hand, he's going to be out. Hopefully that's not terribly long from now, but that's where we're at as of today.
Rebels hit the road, as I mentioned, tomorrow. Head up to Fresno for a conference game. Have you ever played a conference game? You ever remember playing a conference game, either of you, this early in the season?
No.
Not at all, no.
Yeah. It's very odd. As a matter of fact, I looked at their schedule. Fresno's actually playing two conference games this week. They play a conference game on Saturday as well. So probably because the way their bye works out and all of that. But the reason is because the conference tournament had to be moved up a week, for a variety of reasons. And as a result, they had to find a week to sneak in an extra conference game. And it's this week. All teams in the conference, but for one, I don't know who has the bye, will be playing a conference game this week. The Rebels draw Fresno up in Fresno. And before you take off, Coach, we want to talk a little bit about the Bulldogs and the challenge that they pose.
Yeah, they're a very defensive-minded team. They do a great job on that side of the ball. I think they've got great balance. They've got frontline players, Grimes and Robinson. They can step out and shoot a little bit. We've got to have great awareness to them. They've got some veteran guards. So I think overall they're a very mentality-based team. They try to press you and pick you up and throw a lot of different run and jump pressure at you and try to keep you off balance. They never just let you bring the ball over half court. So we've got to make sure we handle that pressure, try to attack them, and that we're the aggressor and we're not being playing on our heels.
Sounds like you're describing some of those old San Diego State teams. Hmm. With Coach Fisher over there.
Yeah, well, Coach Hudson.
Oh, that's right.
There you go. Is at Fresno State, who designed a lot of those defenses. But it's playing up there at the Save Mart Center. It's conference game, and I don't know whether we'll have the same feel as we normally do when we go into conference, just because of the strange circumstance of playing them on December the 4th. But there is a difference. There is a different feel. There is a different everything about a conference game.
No, there certainly is. I mean, I think everything, the stakes are higher, the energy, the competitive spirit, the rivalries. A lot of these guys have played against each other growing up, so they know each other. So it's certainly an elevated sense of urgency and wanting to get it done. And I know our guys will come out fired up and ready to go on Wednesday.
Do you also kind of get that extra boost when you get into conference play?
You know, I think it's an opportunity in league play. The teams know each other so much better. You've coached against the coaches and played against the personnel. So it's one of those things where everybody has a better understanding of what their opponent's trying to accomplish on both sides of the ball. And now it comes down to, the execution piece. So I think that's exciting. I think it's, it's kind of like you have two seasons. And right now that's, we're turning all our effort to conference play for one game until we come back after the new year.
One of the things we talked about, Coach, briefly, but I want to bring it up again, is because I don't know that the fans completely understand it. You, because of the way the schedule has set up and because we've been going so rapid fire, you and your staff have not really had a chance to run a practice rather than a game prep. For an extended period of time. And I know that can be frustrating because I know you want to teach.
Well, I think for us, we believe in building those habits on the practice floor. I think if you asked our guys, I think we're still, we're still trying to build those in practice. And as much as we want to get ready for our opponents, and that's part of it, we need our team to keep getting better and focus on us. So I know our guys, as we go into these games, we spend a lot of time focusing on us and what we need to do to improve. We're going to be excited as coaches when we do have a little bit more time to teach and focus on a long practice where we can get up and down and do more and teach things that we need to do to get better for sure. And, we've got two this week, and then we've got a little bit of a break in front of us.
And we're talking practice? We're talking about practice? Is there? No. It's funny. I'm sure the guys echo these sentiments. But for me, as a player, early in the season, you hate practice, for lack of better terms, because it's the grind over and over, repetitive against each other. But in the season, for me, I loved practice because that's where we could really kind of test each other and see who's committed, who's bettering themselves, who's putting in the extra work to get more shots, to get more conditioning, whatever it is. So it's kind of a funny balance. And when you're playing heavy minutes, though, may be a little bit different, but I'm sure these guys are probably chomping at the bit, like you and the staff, our coach, to get out there into practice, because like you said, we can talk about it, but it's different to go out there, put it to action. But I can only imagine how tough it is with just, we're like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, and we've got to be mindful of guys' legs and their bodies. I mean, Bakke's playing 33 minutes, Eli's playing 36, Amari's playing 37. So we've got to make sure that the reps those guys take in practice, that we're not burning their bodies out and taking their legs from them. And so we've got to balance how we do that. So that does take a little bit of that competitiveness away, because you want guys to really be going at it. At the same time, you've got to be smart about how you take care of their bodies.
Well, I think that it's important that fans understand that you and the staff have all of that perspective and are able to manage that through the season and still learning the guys. It's still a learning process for everybody, even though we're approaching maybe the quarter pole in the season?
Well, I mean, you have the guys that returned, and some didn't play as many minutes last year. Then you have four new guys on scholarship that are eligible, two new guys that are sitting out, and you're blending together just a group that's never been together before, and then two walk-ons that hadn't been with us. So the bulk of our team is new, and a lot of guys put in a new role, so we're still learning about them. They're learning about us. We're continuing to grow together, and it's part of the process, and we're excited to get back to the floor each day and see what we can learn and how we can improve.
Well, it all sounds good, and Coach, we'll get a chance to visit with you before the Fresno State game on Wednesday. But right now, I know you got to run out. There's some recruiting to be done locally, high school game going on that you need to get to. But we appreciate you coming by and being part of your show, and we'll see you on the way to Fresno tomorrow.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Head Coach T.J. Otzelberger, our guest. We'll take a break. Come back. We've got a couple of special guests with us. We'll have to decide who's going to go first based on when your food shows up. But we have Nick Blair and we have Marvin Coleman with us. So we'll hear from each of them as we move forward. You're listening to the T.J. Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Scott dribbling out top. Is it to Cumberland, top of the key, pass down low to Vogt. Quadruple teamed, and he traveled. Great defense by UNLV. I mean, you talked about flies to honey. When that ball went into Vogt, I thought the Rebels had six guys on him. Great team defense there for the Runner Rebels against Cincinnati. Four guys surrounding the 7'1" center for the Bearcats and forcing the turnover. Part of what was an exciting basketball game. Rebels, unfortunately, unable to get it done in overtime against the Bearcats, and now turn their attention to a very strange scheduling quirk, a conference game this week. Rebels will be at Fresno State on Wednesday night. Everybody, I'm John Sandler, along with Curtis Terry, and we have a special guest. Marvin Coleman joins us here on the Coach's Show. Marvin, thank you so much for doing so. I hate to take you away from your grub.
Yeah, you're good. You know. Thank you for having me.
Let's start from the beginning this year. Obviously, the coaching change and new coaching staff comes in. And did you have a sense that you had to kind of prove yourself a little bit, or was it just a matter of getting to know the new staff and trying to figure out what they needed to do and then putting forth your best effort?
I think it was more so getting to know the staff, letting them get to know us. I never felt like I had to prove myself, but, you know, obviously it was, you know, showing the coaches what I could do, showing them what we could do as a team and, you know, all the guys coming together and, you know, for our common goal, you know, win games. So that was the main thing, you know, getting to know my teammates, getting to know the coaches and, you know, working hard together.
Yeah, it's always a bit of an adjustment, to say the least, when there's a change like that. And as you say, not only new coaches, but new teammates.
Yeah.
But you guys seem to have come together quite well.
Yeah. I mean, we're all really close. We did a lot of things during the summer. You know, we hang out off the court. I think that's a big part of why we're so close. You know, we're together every single day, all day. And, you know, we're brothers. You know, all the new guys who were here last year, you know, David, Amari, Bryce, Nick, we're all close. So, you know, there's not that, I think that's half the battle right there.
Absolutely. Curtis, you know, chemistry, you can't overstate the importance.
Oh, no, you've definitely got to at least like or be able to put up with who you're going into battle with. I think it's a big thing, because especially when it's a quick turnaround, like you just mentioned, Marvin, in terms of some new guys, some returning guys, new coaches, that's tough to put together and kind of mix up and put in the oven and get to come out how you want it. And it's to me, it's – again, social media, we get a kind of a glimpse in the YouTube series of what you guys are doing and what you guys are like off the court. I'm curious, though, who's the best bowler out of the group?
Oh, that's right. They went bowling in Cincinnati.
Listen, we went bowling in Cincinnati, but, you know, I don't think guys had their, you know, their fair share. A lot of guys were tired. You know, there was some different factors, but we did go bowling one time in Vegas out here. We went to the New Orleans, actually, and we played two games. Shekna had the best total score out of the two games, but, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I had the highest, you know, individual score. So
yeah, I was going to say the first bit of that, when you made all those excuses about how things were in Cincinnati, I'm guessing you didn't have the highest score in Cincinnati.
You know, Cincinnati was a little rough. I wasn't used to the lanes.
Okay,
you know,
yeah, oiled differently of that. Yeah.
They didn't use 10 pins. Yeah,
exactly.
And balls,
right? You didn't have your ball. You didn't have your shoes.
See, but we had a lot of technical difficulties. Like Nick's lane, their pins kept messing up, and the balls weren't coming back and stuff. So, I mean, I guess it wasn't as competitive.
But we remember Nick, you know, used to bowl when they actually had the pin boys, and they'd actually physically roll the ball back to you. You know, he remembers all that. So, you know, he's been around a little while.
Yeah. That's cool.
Go ahead, Kurt. Sorry.
So what was your score when you guys bowled here at the Orleans?
Probably around like 140, 150.
Okay. Well, now what did you bowl in Cincinnati?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he doesn't remember. Imagine that. When did you get told you were being put on scholarship, and how did that make you feel?
I think it was probably about maybe two weeks, if that, after Coach TJ got here. And, I mean, honestly, that was one of the best feelings of my life, you know. It was obviously, you know, it was a big thing for my family because, you know, my college was paid for. So that was one thing that was, you know, a blessing. But, I mean, obviously, it was just great. You know, I'm in my hometown. And, you know, to be able to play for my hometown is a dream come true. And to be able to be on scholarship, it just made it, you know, even more of a dream come true.
Let's talk about that because you stayed home. Mm-hmm. You walked on at UNLV. You had a chance. Probably could have gone elsewhere, maybe even elsewhere on a scholarship, or certainly elsewhere to get more playing time at a D2 program or a lesser D1 program. But you decided to stay home. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit, explain to the folks what went into that decision? Because it carries forward into what's going on now with the runner-up program.
Obviously, you know, like I said, I'm big with my family. I have two little brothers and a big sister, and my mom, you know, my household family were very close. So obviously it was great to be able to be home, and, you know, if I wanted to, you know, I can go home tonight, you know, kids can give my mom a hug, you know. But, you know, just being here, you know, obviously I know UNLV has a rich history, and, you know, I love Las Vegas. I'm born and raised. So, you know, it wasn't about, you know, obviously I want to play and everything like that, but, you know, there's more that comes into it. There's a lot of relationship. There's a lot of, you know, it's bigger than basketball. So that's just, you know, the way I looked at it. And obviously, you know, if I work hard and put myself in the right position, you know, playing time will come.
Well, playing time has come.
Yeah.
And we've noticed it. We'll talk about that in a second, but I want to focus on the staying home part because you look at the recruiting class that has signed for next year for UNLV, and it is full of local kids.
Yes, sir.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
It is the first time in a long time that we've had a coaching staff focus on local recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
How important is that, do you think, to kids in high school here? Obviously, the quality of basketball, not only the breadth, but the depth of talent in the local community has grown significantly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think kids think now about staying home and going to UNLV? Because four of them are right now for next year.
Obviously, you know, I feel like anywhere, that's a kid's dream to stay home. So to have coaches, and, you know, our coaches are in the gym every single day. Like Coach TJ just left to go watch a game. So obviously it just gives them even more motivation. You know, they see the familiar faces. They see him everywhere. So it's like, you know, why wouldn't I stay home? You know, it's just like me. You know, they probably value their family and things like that. So it's like it's a no-brainer as to why not.
There's no stigma about, oh, you couldn't go anywhere else, or things haven't been the way, you know, the runner-up program hasn't been quite to the level that everybody wants over the last, you know, fairly extended period of time. We're all confident that Coach TJ and his staff are going to get it going. And do you think the message is be a part of that?
I think, you know, with what Coach TJ is doing, you know, with the staff he's brought in, he's doing a great job of, you know, when he first got here, he was getting in the community and doing a lot of things. And, you know, Coach Slocum, he's from here. Coach Kruger, he played here. So, you know, I think it's like we have a great staff. And, you know, I think Coach TJ did all the right things when he first got here to establish those relationships.
I'm just curious because I can relate to what you're talking about in terms of getting that call and being able to be on scholarship and how that feels and those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you at? And was it a phone call or was it in person?
No, it was in person. We were in the film room as a team, and Coach TJ, we were watching one of the tournament games last year, and Coach TJ called me out, and he brought me into the room by myself, and he told me he was going to put me on scholarship. And I mean, it was like, I didn't want to cry in front of him. So I was just like, thank you. I gave him a big hug, and then I went in the other room and I called my mom right away. You know, I had some tears, and it was just a dream come true. So, you know, and then I went back in the film room with all the guys in there, and I'm just smiling. You know, I'm sitting there. Amari and Bryce are like, Marvin, what are you doing? Like, why? You know, I kept getting up, going out the room. So, it was just a moment I'll never forget.
No, I think that's awesome. There's been a number of walk-ons through UNLV over the last, 15 years. Mm-hmm. But again, I think it's not about where you go and what school it is and playing time. It's about believing in yourself and betting on yourself. Mm-hmm. And obviously you've done that. And mm-hmm. if you commit, and you're probably working much harder now mm-hmm. than you were before, and not to prove something to somebody else, but to prove it to yourself,
right?
That you are where you're supposed to be in contributing positively. So I love it, man.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And you're wearing the best number that the Rebels have.
Yeah. Curtis's old number, of course. No pressure there. Literally.
Sean Marion, too.
Yeah. Huh. And that might be a little bit of pressure. But you talked about getting more playing time now, and the fact that when you first got on the court this year, Curtis and I both kind of commented on it, that you really weren't looking for your shot. You were just mm-hmm. you were just kind of out there. You were contributing defensively. You were mm-hmm. contributing on the rebounding side. But offensively, you were just part of the flow.
Yeah.
Last couple of times you've been on the floor, you've looked a little bit more confident.
Uh-huh.
And what has caused that change? I know you still focus on defense heavily, but what has caused that gain of confidence for you?
Honestly, you know, it's just my teammates and my coaches. You know, they give me that confidence. Obviously, you know, I didn't play much last year, so, you know, the few games I got in early, it was just getting my feet wet, you know, getting used to the field, you know, getting my nerves out and everything. But now, you know, it's just my teammates having confidence in me, you know, telling me, like, hey, when I pass you the ball, shoot the ball, you know. And then my coaches, you know, Coach Slocum, Coach TJ, Coach Kruger, Coach Buck, you know, they all just tell me, you know, just play, you know. I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to, you know, but I'm going to make up for it. As long as I'm playing hard and doing the right things, you know, that's all that matters.
Do you value – I mean, you're a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you value the fact that you've got those basketball instincts and that intelligence maybe to do some things on the court to put yourself in a position to succeed where maybe you don't have the level of skill that some of the starters might have?
Yes, 100%. I know I can't, you know, just get in the game and jack up a bunch of threes like Jonah. You know, Jonah's one of the best in the country, and I'll tell that to anyone. But, you know, I'm going to stay in my game. You know, I don't want to do anything that I can't do, and I don't want to do anything that I can't do that will hurt the team. So, you know, I just stay within what I can do. I know what I can do, and I try to do that to the best of my abilities.
Well, what you can do is be a part of this program, and you can also go finish your dinner. We're going to let you go.
Okay.
We appreciate you coming up. Marvin Coleman, part of the Runner Rebels team this year, and we'll be on the flight to Fresno with us tomorrow.
Thank you
very much, Marvin. And congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. Nick Blair is going to join us. Talk to Nick about his scholarship day, I guess, and then talk to him about his impressions of this team as the Runner Rebels move into their first conference game this week. You are listening to the T.J. Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Amari a long way from the basket with 10 on the shot clock. Amari comes left side. Gets it down low to Nick Blair for the slam dunk. Nice pass, drawing the defense. Nick Blair throwing it down in Cincinnati as the Runnin' Rebels has staged a terrific comeback and got the game to overtime, unable to get it done, but tremendous atmosphere and great experience for this new group. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, now joined by the aforementioned Nick Blair. Thanks for coming.
Thanks
Appreciate
for having
it.
Me. Thank you.
And that was fun. I mean, it wasn't fun that the Rebels didn't win, but it was a good environment, and you guys battled what's off.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm happy that we went out there to a team that their culture is known for being tough. You know, Cincinnati has a really good culture of knowing that they got tough, hard-nosed guys that aren't scared of anybody, and we went in there with the attitude not scared of them. And we fought and we battled, and like Coach said before, you know, we could have easily gave up once we were down 10, but we kept fighting, kept clawing, and you know, we definitely will learn from that game and take some very good notes from it.
Nick, you were part of the program last year. You came home, and you heard us talking to Marvin about the local guys signing up to play for the Runner Rebels in next year's class and how local recruiting has become a real focus for this staff. What do you think about that?
I think it's big. I think anywhere in the country, when you can recruit locally, it gives guys hope. You know what I mean? To know that the school, wherever you're from, has a chance of being interested in you when you have a chance to represent Las Vegas, represent your family, coaches, all that stuff. It's a big deal. I know I take a lot of pride in that myself, you know, just to make, like, the coaches before me happy, you know, my family, people that look up to me, whoever that may be, you know, cousins, all that stuff that also play basketball. So to be able to do that and to do it at, you know, for me to be Vegas, other guys, different locations, I think it's a really big deal.
It is.
For you, Nick, I'm curious because I love your energy and what you bring to the table because you can play – I mean, 5-4, 3-2. You can play all positions, but you sacrifice yourself for the team. You're diving on the floor for loose balls, even big blowout margins, diving on the floor, taking charges, sacrificing. Is that because – why is that? Just curious. Why do you feel or why do you do that in terms of night in, night out?
I just feel like it's just kind of like I'm okay with it. Like, my journey with college basketball and everything has been very roller coaster. And to get to where I've been to with anything in life, even high school, you know, I had to work hard. So I'm willing to give up my body, willing to put that little extra effort in and willing to just go the extra mile for guys. I just want to help. Just want to help the team, help my teammates, help my guys. Even if I'm not that close with them or close with them, you know, I just want to help. So that's just my whole deal.
You know, I don't think there's a player that epitomizes that sort of selflessness, know your role, understand what you have to do on and off the court, whether it's for the Runner Rebels or anywhere, more than Nick Blair does. I mean, I almost sense you kind of take pride in that.
Yeah, you know, I just take a lot of pride in doing my job, you know, and when someone gives me a task and tells me what I need to do, I focus in and make sure I do that task and do it the best of my abilities, and along the way, if certain things open up, certain things get a little more here and there, then obviously you flow along with it, but, you know, definitely stick within the roots of what got you there in the first place.
And I can imagine it's hard to do, to sacrifice sacrifice yourself for the betterment of the team, because as a player, you can do more than just the dirty work or defend bigger guys. For me, just a kind of comparison, reminds me of the role that Rene Rougeau played at UNLV. It was a walk-on, but just didn't matter. Whatever you needed, I'll do it. I'll take the garbage out. And he was terrible at taking the garbage out, by the way, in the dorms. But just sacrificed his body, guarded all positions, and sacrificed until it was his turn in time. Because, again, you clearly believe in yourself. But I think the role that you bring and also what Marvin brings to the table is like team first, selfless. When it's my turn, I'll be ready for it and take advantage of it because you guys are glue guys, right? I mean, it's a terrible term to use. You're more than that, but it's you guys are the ones that keep everybody together. But again, that's not an easy job to do because you've got to be selfless and sacrifice. So, with all that, I just commend you for doing that because you guys are like the heartbeat. I tell John, I'm like, somebody's got to dive on the floor. Yep. Somebody's got to knock somebody down, and that somebody's always you. So
Thank you. Keep
it up, man.
Does it frustrate you? And I don't think there's anybody on this team who has the mentality, but it's all over college athletics. Yeah, other than Marvin. Does it frustrate you when you see a guy who's all about himself and doesn't put that team first or at least put the team on a level with his own accomplishments?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a team sport. You should always put the team first and think, is this good for the team? Is this going to help us, you know? I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's going to have their own accolades and dreams and goals and different ideas of what they think is okay, but it's not about you. If you want to be about you, go play a sport that makes it about you. You know, that's how I think about it. That's what I believe. So just make sure when you're on the floor, just help us out.
That sounds like a terrific philosophy, and I think it's going to turn into some positive things this year for the Runner Rebels. We're going to take a break, ask Nick to stick around for one more segment with us, get into his plans not only for this year but for the future and things he'd like to see for his career both in and then after basketball. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the T.J. Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino from the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Eli will throw it to Nick Blair at the foul line. He'll hand to Hardy. Mari at the top of the key. Mari working on McClellan. Mari down the right side, spins in the lane to a cutting Blair for the layup. Nice play. Penetrate. There you go. Get the paint. Mari Hardy and Nick Blair combining on that bucket from the game in Cincinnati. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, and the aforementioned Nick Blair with you from Bailiwick here at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Nick, that play and some of the other action we saw in Cincinnati, certainly in the first half, I think epitomizes what this coaching staff wants. some of the fans might be frustrated with the fact that we're not seeing it more and more or seeing it consistently, but we are starting to see it more and more. Can you talk a little bit about the evolution of that process, understanding what they want, and then as a group being able to apply it?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's starting to become more and more of a habit each time, and that's a good thing. I think that's just the buy-in by us, believing that we can do it and that we're not just going to let one loss make us be like, oh, the coach don't know what they're talking about. This is silly. This doesn't work. You know, continuing to buy and continue to believe and continue to tell ourselves that this does work. We have the proof. We have the film. And just continuing to make sure that, you know, not just one half, not just 30 minutes, but then make it a 40-minute deal. And just making sure we keep getting better, you know, even if it's just an inch a day, that eventually all those inches will eventually add up. And then when it's time to lock in and lock down, when it matters, you know, not to say that these games don't matter, but you know what I mean. Just
and when conference play comes around, absolutely.
Conference
sure.
And conference tournament.
Yeah,
that's when it will kick in.
Absolutely. You know, the so much of what TJ talks about is defense and toughness and rebounding, and that just fits in with who you are. Now I know it took a little while for you and everything to kind of begin to click, but it just seems like as the season continues, you're going to play a bigger and bigger role.
Yeah, I mean. Things take time, and like all things, you know, new coaches, new players, you know, you got to get a feel for things and feel for guys and feel for what's going on. And at first, you're just trying to, like, please the coaches and make sure you don't mess up. And then as the days and weeks and months and games go on, you realize different things and get different views and understand, okay, I got a little more freedom now. Let's do this, okay? They believe I can do this. Now let's show them I can do that. And then just different things come as days goes on and, you know, come conference, you know, come a new year. You know, definitely I hope I can elevate my role a little bit, not try to get too outside the box, but definitely be able to show a little bit more what I can do and still help the team and still hold it down for the defensive end.
Definitely make sure you keep holding it down defensively. We need that. Need that nasty, that grit. I think about it, and this was my experience, you and Marvin as well, but players that can be successful without having plays ran for them, but you guys – like, coach knows what you guys are going to bring night in and night out. Constant, consistent. Other players are not like that. But I think for me, I went through that where my sophomore year, Coach Krieger was like, nope, you're just going to still keep coming off the bench. I'm like, come on, coach, I'm ready. We had an injury. But it wasn't because of what I wasn't doing. It's because it was going to help the team. It was going to bring out the best of the team to elevate or to be that spark. Because it comes down to it. It's not who starts the game. It's who finishes the game. It's not what the record is right now. Obviously, it's important, but at the end of the road. And I think that I love that your mentality and attitude is, I'm going to stay in my lane, do my thing, but I'm ready. When I'm called on, I'm going to ready, and you're going to bust off that warm-up with your Superman S on your chest and do your thing. And I think that's it, the stuff that goes unnoticed. You're not going to see that in the stat sheet. But I'm glad that you aren't letting that get lost in translation. That's awesome, man. I love it.
What about the future as you move on from UNLV after this season, obviously hoping for great success for you. But what's the plan? I mean, Curtis mentioned Rene Rougeau, and I think it's an apt analogy. Rene has gone on and had an unbelievable career overseas, playing in a number of different places, seeing the world, making some good coin, and enjoying himself. Is that something that you might want to do, or eventually get into coaching, or what?
I definitely want to go overseas and take advantage of the opportunity that not a lot of people get to do. And you know, I've only been out the country one time, so to see other places and see the beauty of the world would be great. Have a chance to make some solid money, you know, maybe even get opportunity to make some really good money. You know, I've heard, you know, of different guys, friends, family, brothers, cousins making this X amount of dollars. So to be able to get the opportunity would be great. Save some money, get my life right, situated early for, you know, hopefully future family, and, you know, make sure everybody else is okay, make sure family's okay, make sure I'm okay, and then go from there, maybe get into coaching, see what it is, you know. I can't really tell you right now, you know, so, but I'm sure things will change, you know, 15, 20 years down the road as far as mindset and stuff. But as of right now, you know, I would definitely like to still play basketball while I still can.
Things will definitely change for sure.
Yeah. I think Curtis would echo this. Play as long as you can
for sure.
In good situations. Yeah. And if you want to stick around the game, I think you – Marvin as well, but certainly you, because of your attitude, your intelligence, and your understanding of the game, I think you have a chance to if you really want to get into that lifestyle, because coaching is but if you want to do it, I think there's an opportunity for you just because of the kind of person you are. and your knowledge of the game.
Appreciate that.
Would you want to coach? I mean, I'm making up things here, but would you want to coach at the college level? Would you want to coach at the high school level? Is there a certain age of kids that you like? You
know, I would probably definitely start at high school. Just start somewhere in ground level first. I'm still not crazy in the college level. You do a lot of traveling. You stay a lot of time away from home. You know, you don't get a lot of breaks, you know, so you got to make sure you find a good partner. And, you know, it's tough being away from family, man. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's very hard. And, you know, you get paid good money to do what you do. But at the end of the day, there's a lot more sacrifice that comes along with it as well. So, again, mindset could change. Things could change. Figure it out. But, you know, high school would be a good start just to, you know, get my feet in the water.
That's a long way away. Tomorrow we get on an airplane and go to Fresno. Conference game on Wednesday. It's always tough up there. You know they're going to play D. You know they're going to be physical. You know they're going to pick you up full court. Can you help some of the newer guys understand what they're going to face?
We already faced it. I don't got to tell them nothing that they haven't already seen, mm-hmm. heard, or anything. We already faced it. And if anything, we faced that some of the highest levels, from big guards, legit seven-footers, and all that stuff. So it's nothing that they should be afraid of, should be news to them. None of that, you know, is something that we should go here with another mindset of we got to go in here and bring it, especially being an away game and especially being a conference game, because this is our chance to let everybody know the conference too that, you know, we're still here. Don't let the record fool you, but we're battle tested, we're ready, and we're here to set our first mark down.
That sounds pretty good, Nick. Appreciate it. Go put
it.
That. You got Curtis all excited.
I'm excited.
Now.
Let's go to
He's
the gym.
He's all excited. We will see you on the way to Fresno. We'll see you on Wednesday on the court up at the Save Mart Center. Appreciate you coming by.
Appreciate
all the
it.
Best to you and your family.
Thank you.
Nick Blair joining with us. We'll take a break, come back, our final segment. You're listening to the TJ Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino from Learfield, IMG College. Back here at Bailiwick. John and Curtis with you for our final segment. Real brief. Curtis, Nick got you all excited. You're fired up for Wednesday against Fresno State.
I'm ready to go. Mike's not on. I'm ready to go. Marvin, if you want to let me borrow the jersey at Fresno, I've never played there, so I'll take it. But, no, I'm excited. These guys, they're right there. They're about to turn the corner, and all the hard work is going to pay off. I'm excited to see it.
Well, no question there's hard work. No question there's effort. No question that we've seen a lot of good execution. We're going to see more on Wednesday night. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up, 7 o'clock with a tip, a conference game against Fresno State. That's going to do it for us here, for Coach, for Marvin, for Nick, for Ray, for Jared, and for Curtis. This is John saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Wednesday night from Fresno. Have a great evening, everybody.
Live from Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car.